Let's take our Bibles and turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, we'll be reading the first several verses here. We're looking at an unusual topic this week in our series, Issues of Life, Answered from the Bible. We're in chapter 12, and the title of this week's lesson is, What is True Worship? What is True Worship? We're taking for our text the story of the Lord Jesus and the woman at the well. Let's begin our reading in John chapter 4, verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And then we'll skip down to verse 21. As Christ continues his conversation, leading this woman to himself, Jesus saith unto her, verse 21, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We're looking again at the topic, what is true worship? What is true worship? As the Lord Jesus spoke with this woman in Sychar, of course, he was leading her to a saving knowledge of himself. She began to get religious on him, and she began to speak about worship. And certainly there are a lot of people today who are seemingly very religious and like to talk about worship. And a lot of people have so many different ideas about what worship truly is. But we have to ask ourselves this question. Are we true worshipers? There in verse 23, Christ said, The hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Are we true worshipers of the Lord Jesus Christ? I'll be the first to agree with you that worship is not something that takes place in a group necessarily. We know that it takes place within the heart of an individual. Yet we come together collectively and corporately as a church. And churches, as they call themselves, come together collectively and corporately week after week to do what they call worship, or to have what they call worship. And obviously, looking at the other things going on in our country, there's such a variety and such difference in what some people call worship. So what is true worship? What is true worship? That's what we want to consider this week. Because I believe so many things that are taking place in so many churches in the name of worship are not really true worship at all. And we'll talk about that. Consider a few things with me. First of all, consider that God the Son seeks. God the Son seeks. Back at the first part of the story in chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says, And he must needs go through Samaria. Christ was divinely led to this well. And as he sat there in his thirst, I believe in God's providence, this woman came. She was living in adultery. She's coming at the sixth hour at noontime. That's not the time that women come to draw water. Obviously, she did not want to be seen and be associated with everyone else in the city. So she's sneaking, if you please, to the well at noontime. And despite her wicked past, God gave her this divine appointment because Christ was seeking her. He was seeking her. In fact, I want you to notice what Christ was seeking to show her, what Christ was seeking to reveal to her. He said, if thou knewest the gift of God, if thou knewest the gift of God, what is the gift of God? Well, the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Christ was seeking for her to know the gift of eternal life, and he's still seeking for sinners to know the gift of eternal life today. That's his desire. And there's no doubt that that's his will. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Notice he said there in verse 10, not only if thou knewest the gift of God, he said, but also, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink. Christ said, I'm seeking for you to know the gift of God, and I'm seeking for you to know who is speaking to you. And that's the Lord Jesus. And that's the same desire that the Son of God has today. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Still true. The point is, God the Son seeks. God the Son seeks. He made her aware of her need of him. He made her aware of her sin. And she realized in her own heart that she needed a Savior. And he revealed to her the wonderful gift of God, eternal life. He revealed to her who he was, because that eternal life is only found in the person of the Lord Jesus. And this is still our great work to do today, to give the gospel to the world, because God the Son is seeking sinners. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now consider this secondly in the passage, and that is that God the Father seeks. God the Father seeks. Down in verse 19, we see that this woman wanted to change the subject. The woman said in verse 19, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And she begins to get religious on the Lord Jesus and begins to talk to him about God. And as we find out the reaction of the Lord Jesus, we find that he says something very interesting. He said in verse 23, The hour cometh and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And notice this, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. The Father seeketh such to worship him. Not only does God the Son seek sinners to be in a right relationship with him, a saving relationship with him, but God the Father is seeking those who know him, is seeking believers to worship him, to be true worshipers of him, to worship him in spirit and in truth. Did you know that only redeemed men can worship the Lord Jesus Christ? The unsaved cannot truly worship the Lord because they cannot worship in spirit and in truth. Only the redeemed can worship the Lord, because true worship is an activity of the Spirit. And only the spirit of a redeemed man has been regenerated by the Lord Jesus Christ. In truth, as a believer, everything I do for the Lord should come out of my worship of God. In other words, everything I do should be for God, should be because of what I know Christ has done for me. And because I love the Lord and I adore the Lord and worship him, and out of my worship should come all that I do for God. Now, if you cannot be a true worshiper of the Father unless you've been saved, then what does this mean about so many worship services that we see today going on? The truth is, many worship programs or worship services that are going on in so-called churches today are entirely geared to attract the unsaved. In fact, that's their stated purpose. That's their stated goal. Worldly music is brought in, and worldly activities take place on the platform, and often the platform's not even called a platform, it's called a stage, and other things are changed just to make the church service just as comfortable for everybody as possible, so that every person, every unsaved person, would feel comfortable sitting there. And the whole service is designed, they say, to attract the lost and to attract the unsaved. But the truth is, when we come together to worship, if we're coming together corporately to worship God, Only the redeemed can worship the Lord, because they're the only ones whose spirits have been regenerated by the Lord Jesus Christ. This is an activity of the spirit, not just some activity of the flesh or some activity of the emotions. There's a powerful quote by A.W. Tozer in the reading material this week, and I hope you'll take the time to look through it and even read it in class. Pastors and churches, he says, in our hectic times are harassed by the temptation to seek size at any cost and to secure inflation by what they cannot gain by legitimate growth. They are greedy for thrills, and since they dare no longer seek them in the theater, they demand to have them brought into the church. A church fed on excitement is no New Testament church at all. The desire for surface stimulation is a sure mark of the fallen nature, the very thing Christ died to deliver us from. Because we are not truly worshipers, we spend a lot of time in churches just spinning our wheels, burning the gasoline, making a noise, but getting nowhere. And the point is, God has called us to worship. God has called us to worship Him in spirit and in truth, and the Father seeketh such. He's seeking such to worship Him. Philippians 3:3 says, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." So much of what goes on today just works on the emotion. It's not true spirit worship. It's not true worship. And we must remember that only God the Father and God alone is worthy of true worship. And if God and God alone is worthy of worship, let us desire to be true worshipers of Him. Now, not only does the Son seek and the Father seek, but I want you to notice thirdly that God the Spirit seeks. God the Spirit seeks. The Bible says in verse 24, God is a Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. There are several musts here found in the Gospel according to John in this chapter. Of course, in verse 24, it says, they that worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. John chapter 3 and verse 7, Jesus said, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." John 3:14, even as Christ said, "Even as the Son of Man must be lifted up." So we find some must. You must be born again. The Son of Man must be lifted up. Certainly we know that's true of our salvation. Then he says here in John 4:24, we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The Bible teaches that we're created spirit, soul, and body. In fact, Proverbs 20:27 says the spirit is called the candle of the Lord. And the moment we're saved, God comes to dwell within our spirit. And so much of what we find as worship today is not true worship, because it's not spirit worship, it's just soul worship. It's just a thrill of the emotion. It's just a turning of the heads and a raising of excitement. It's all soul and it's no spirit. But God is a spirit. You say, how does God the Spirit seek? Well, He seeks within us to exalt and magnify and worship and adore the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will always magnify the Son of God. So many services you go into today, men are magnified and singers are glorified and even speakers are glorified and people who perform are glorified. But truly the Lord Jesus Christ will be glorified when we're worshiping in spirit and in truth. As we close, I want you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 5. We find a beautiful picture of a true worship service. That's it. True worship found here. So where do we find it? It's found in heaven, where there's complete freedom of the Holy Spirit to lift up the Lord Jesus. Look at Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. The Bible says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." You say, what is true worship? Well, in Revelation chapter 5, we give the little indicator. In true worship, all eyes are on the Lamb of God. That's the situation in Revelation chapter 5. All eyes are on the Lamb, not on some performer or not on some singer, not on some man or some person, but all eyes are cast upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Spirit seeks within us. He seeks to cast our eyes on the Lord Jesus and to uplift the Lord Jesus so that we might be true worshipers of Him. God's worthy of our worship, isn't He? And certainly as the Son seeks sinners to be right with Him, God the Father seeks us to be true worshipers as believers. And the Spirit of God is seeking to uplift the Lord Jesus Christ and help us to have all eyes on the Lamb of God. May the Lord help us to be true worshipers. Let's pray. Father, we love You, and I pray You bless every teacher who gives a lesson this week. Lord, use them in a mighty way, and help us, Lord, to understand true worship from looking at these things in Thy Word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.